This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. 10 years ago this weekend, a major civil rights milestone in America. For the first time, same-sex couples were granted marriage licenses here in Massachusetts.
On May 17, 2004, just after the stroke of midnight, the city of Cambridge led the way, issuing the nation's first marriage licenses for same-sex couples. In a moment, we'll hear from the couple that was first in line to get a marriage license, and we'll talk about the state of marriage equality for the LGBT community 10 years on.
But first, let's listen back to a report that Anthony filed a decade ago for NPR's Morning Edition about that historic night in Cambridge.
As the first couples left City Hall with their marriage license applications in hand shortly after midnight, a crowd of more than 5,000 people, most of them cheering, had filled the streets and drowned out the half dozen or so protesters. The celebration grew throughout the day yesterday as gay and lesbian couples, many of them accompanied by family and friends, began lining up outside of City Hall. Sitting in folding camp chairs, they looked like baseball fans waiting for World Series tickets to go on sale. 56-year-old Marsha Hams of Cambridge and her partner were first in line. They showed up 24 hours ahead of time so they could be the nation's first gay couple to apply for a legal marriage license.
We've been together for 27 years, and we have a 24-year-old son, so we really never thought we'd be able to do this.
Ham's partner, Susan Shepherd, says they are grateful to the 7 couples whose lawsuit made this day possible. A couple from nearby Brookline, Massachusetts, who gave only their first names, Doug and Kurt, described yesterday as emotional.
Kurt and I have been together 9 years on Thursday. For the first time, we feel like we're really free and equal.
I do feel as though I'm like a boy who was born left-handed and was told by my government for my whole life that I had to use my right hand, even though I couldn't really express myself properly with it. And finally, at long last, the government is saying it's okay to be left-handed. You're just like everybody else. Go ahead and have a great life.
Are you a couple?
Who's a couple?
You with them?
Are you a separate couple?
No, yes.
Are you with them?
By 10:30, the first of more than 260 couples filed into City Hall, where they were handed a numbered ticket and ushered into the city council chambers and a citywide celebration, which featured a 3-tiered wedding cake and a big digital clock counting down to midnight as if it were New Year's Eve. In an invocation, Reverend Irene Monroe of Cambridge told the assembled couples what they could expect at their weddings in the coming days.
You will now hear the justices of the peace say to us, "I now pronounce you wife and wife, or husband and husband, but my favorite is this, I now pronounce you married."
Massachusetts joins the Netherlands, Belgium, and 3 Canadian provinces as the only places in the world where gays can marry. Mary Bonato, the lead attorney in the Massachusetts lawsuit, said the victory ensures that gay and lesbian couples and their families will enjoy the same rights as heterosexual couples.
The door of marriage had been closed. All the rights associated with marriage had been denied. And in a few minutes, that door is going to open here in Cambridge, Massachusetts.
3, 2, 1.
Alex and Mark, a couple from Boston, spoke for many of the families here about the importance of last night.
It means actually finally after being together for 10 years that it's validated.
We have 3 daughters, and so we won't be unwedded parents, but for them not to feel different than everyone else. It's an important thing.
By law, these couples would have to wait 3 days to marry, but many plan to seek court waivers which would allow them to marry today. As the cheers ushered in a new day and new rights for same-sex couples, they also marked the latest stage in a divisive national debate. As the mayor of Cambridge, Michael Sullivan, put it, today is the time for celebration. Later on is the opportunity for politics. Anthony Brooks, NPR News.
So, that was a report I filed 10 years ago, May 7th, 2004, marking a major milestone in gay and lesbian rights. On that day, some 264 same-sex couples received marriage licenses in Cambridge alone, with many others filing applications throughout the state in the days to come.
A decade later, Massachusetts is among 17 states and the District of Columbia that have legalized gay marriage. And despite predictions from some to the contrary, same-sex marriage hasn't threatened the stability of heterosexual marriages. In fact, Massachusetts, where it all began, has the lowest divorce rate in the country.
So we're going to talk a little bit about this right now. And to mark the 10-year anniversary, we're joined by Susan Shepherd and Marcia Hams. They're the couple I spoke to briefly back in 2004 on the steps of Cambridge City Hall, the first couple in Massachusetts to get a license to marry legally as a same-sex couple. And Susan Shepherd, Marcia Hams, welcome to the program.
Hi, Anthony.
Yeah,
hi.
Good to see you after a decade. You're both looking great. Well and happy. So let me ask you about that. Hearing that tape from 10 years ago, what's your reaction? Start with either one of you.
Sure.
Susan.
Yeah, that was terrific. I really did get all choked up. I have to say, I can remember the way that felt like it was yesterday.
Hmm.
It was really incredibly profound. Everybody.
Yeah, Marcia, and your response?
Yeah, it just brought it all back, and it was so exciting to be there with so many other couples, to be there with our son, and finally begin to feel what it was going to be like to be really recognized as a legal couple and a legal family.
You know, it's interesting listening back myself to that tape. I mean, I remember that so well, and I was sort of dutifully going through the motions of covering what I knew was an important story, to be sure. I don't want to pretend otherwise. But when I came out about 2 a.m. and saw, 5,000 or 6,000 plus people, you know, really packed up against City Hall in Cambridge and filling up the street, it was only then that the sort of significance, the true significance of this event really came home to me. And I thought, wow, this is a major, 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 major deal for a lot of people.
Right.
It really is. I want to ask you, it's been 10 years. You two have been together much longer than that. Talk about the significance, though, of being able to finally marry. Because when I talked to you back then, what, you'd been together for 17 years or something? 27 years, excuse me.
Now it's 37.
Yeah, now it's 37. So the significance of that. Marcia.
Well, I think it was so moving to actually be able to recognize, to have the whole community recognize our relationship. We had never been what I'd call totally in the closet, but we hadn't really had that kind of recognition from, you know, just our friend, you know, our son's hockey parents, the parents of his friends, people that we might meet casually. And so it really was the beginning of that feeling that we could just talk naturally about our relationship as heterosexual couples do and really have that mean something to the people that we were talking to and to ourselves. It's constantly reinforced every day that you say, my wife, Susan, my wife, I'm going, you know,
right
out somewhere with my wife, Susan, which you would never, I just never said before.
Yeah. And Susan, Marcia mentioned your son. He's 34 now. He was 24 back in that day. What was his reaction?
Well, I we've always said that in a lot of ways, this was a much more profound day for Peter. And he keeps reiterating that as time goes by. In fact, the other day we were talking about this. And not long after we were married, Peter came to us and he said to me, and he said, are you going to adopt me now? And he said one of the best moments of his life was getting me on his birth certificate after all these years, which is really, he said now he had a real family that he could go to the world with. And you forget how much the kids of our families feel the brunt of a lot of this out in the public.
Sure.
Yeah. You know, we're used to being gay. We've been gay all our lives. And we love our children. And I think this was extremely liberating for all of our children.
Well, listeners, we're talking about 10 years ago when Massachusetts became the first state in the nation to give licenses to gay and lesbian couples that allowed them to marry. We're asking you about where you were that day. What's the significance? Do you think the battle for marriage equality has been won? Are there still challenges ahead facing the LGBT community? You can give us a call, 800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. We're also on Facebook. Facebook and Twitter at Radio Boston. And let me introduce Arlene Isaacson. She's co-chair of the Massachusetts Gay and Lesbian Political Caucus, and she's been sitting here patiently in the studio listening to this. Arlene, thanks for being with us.
You're welcome. Nice to be here.
Yeah, so I want to, you know, everyone knows, of course, Massachusetts was the first state to win gay marriage, but what's often not talked about is why. Why did this state succeed here first and succeed where other states didn't?
It's a very interesting question, Anthony, and I think along with that comes the question and that why was Massachusetts the first state in the nation to be able to defeat DOMA, what our opponents called the Defense of Marriage Act, but which some of us called the Denial of Marriage Act, since that was more accurate. In over two dozen states before Massachusetts, DOMAs passed. Every single time they came up for a vote in every single state in the nation, they passed, and same-sex marriages were banned. So why was Massachusetts not only the first state to win the right to marry in the courts, but the first state to defeat DOMAs? We fought them for about 10 years. There were probably four different ones. Most people don't even realize there were that many. And we defeated them time and time again for a lot of reasons. I mean, you raise a very interesting question. I think part of it has to do with the fact that Massachusetts had pre-existing GLBT organizations. We had brilliant attorneys and brilliant lobbyists and brilliant political activists of all stripes all over the state, people that elected officials knew in the legislature and in town halls. So with those existing relationships, we knew how to interact with each other. Hmm. We had lobbied for 20-some-odd years on a variety of different GLBT issues in the state legislature, so we were known entities. And as activists, we had developed very good relationships with legislators. So even though they disagreed with same-sex marriage or were afraid of it, they were willing to listen to us and eventually be persuaded by us. But it took many years. And we had wonderful allies. The ACLU and NOW and JALSA and groups like that who we had worked with for many years came to our aid in a way that made a huge difference.
So Massachusetts now among 17 states in the District of Columbia that allow same-sex marriage. How did Massachusetts – was Massachusetts sort of a template for the other states that followed?
That's exactly what we were. Having defeated DOMA here, we were able to export the lessons we learned here, the ways in which we managed to defeat DOMA and retain the right to marry. It was then exported to other states. One of the examples that was so profoundly effective was developing a religious community of supporters, because in previous battles around GLBT issues, the religious community was always pitted against the gay community. It was either you believe in God or you believe in the gays. And it was a silly and nonsensical and ridiculous equation, but that's the way our opponents used to try and set up the dynamic. Once, during the marriage fight, we had lots and lots of marriage supporters within the religious the clergy and theologians. It totally changed the nature of the debate. Suddenly,
in what way did it sort of give it, another voice of authority, a sort of moral voice of authority?
That's exactly right. It did that, and instead of having it be gays versus God, it became one version of God versus someone else's version of God. So some faiths would say, we support same-sex marriage. Others would say, we don't. And it allowed a legislator to say, gee, I don't really want to choose which religion I prefer. I don't want to get in this fight. So I want everyone to just do whatever they want to do. And you believe however you want to believe. We're just going to change the laws around civil marriage.
Yeah. Susan and Marcia, I there's such a basic question I want to ask you. And that is, how did you end up in first place there at the front of the line?
Oh, well, there you go. Well, actually, folks, some of the GBLT organizations in Cambridge had asked us to be first.
Yeah. We had discussed it and planned it and talked about
you
guys.
There you go. So there you are because we're so articulate. So we were willing to do it. And then ironically, Sue Hyde had called us and we said, okay, we'll do that. And then she called us back. She says, well, you know, being Cambridge, you really have to actually stand in line. And so
First come, first serve.
So just make sure you're the first.
Right. You were there 24 hours
ahead. We made sure we were the first.
Arlene, what made them the right people to be first in line?
Besides the fact that they're a lovely couple and wonderful people, and they were archetypally perfect, to be quite crass. You know, what's the image that you want to put forth? And you had two women in a long-standing relationship who were professional, thoughtful, smart, caring. They had a son who was well-raised and well-positioned and poised, and they were the embodiment of everything we wanted to show people would happen if they only allowed us to marry.
Yeah.
Because our opponents had for years frightened legislators and the public into thinking that Western civilization as we knew it would be torn asunder if gay folks had the right to marry.
You know, it's interesting. A year after that day, 10 years ago, NPR sent me out, I think, to Framingham to talk to a number of gay and lesbian couples who had married. And sort of the idea of the story was, how's it going a year later? And what are their lives like? And it was a good story to report. Only insofar as it was sort of a completely unsensational story to report, in that people were taking their kids to school, they were getting up and going to work, they were living normal lives. You know, the sky hadn't fallen. You know, the world hadn't changed that much, other than they had, you know, the respect and acknowledgement as other married couples. But I was struck by how normal everything seemed. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that actually made a huge difference in the trajectory of the battle to win the hearts and minds, if you will, of the public around the issue of same-sex marriage. Nothing was more persuasive than actually seeing us be married and seeing nothing bad happen, only good things.
Right. Well, let's take a couple of calls. We've got listeners. We're talking to Arlene Isaacson, co-chair of the Massachusetts Gay and Lesbian Political Caucus, and Susan Shepherd and Marcia Hams, who were the first couple in Massachusetts 10 years ago to get a marriage license that allowed them to marry legally as a lesbian couple. 800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. Let's go to Lindsay, who's calling from Somerville. Lindsay, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hello.
I'm just calling in to share my experience.
Please do.
With the legalization of gay marriage in Massachusetts 10 years ago. I was a freshman in high school, and my English teacher was gay, and he had been out all year to us, and he told us on the day of just before the final exam that he was going to miss the final because he had to go get married, and we were all very happy for him. And now it seems even more relevant now because I'm a high school English teacher, a freshman, and I tell my freshmen that story during their finals every year. You know, just as a funny bookend to the experience.
Lindsay, it's a great story. Thanks so much for calling in with that. I really appreciate it. And good luck to you. Oh, wait, Lindsay, before you go, I want to know what your students say today when you tell them that story.
You know, they're not that surprised. I think they've sort of accepted gay marriage as a regular standby. And, you know, they learn about the history of it and they hear, you know, artists like Macklemore still singing about the issues, and of course it's still a huge issue, but they're sort of like, oh yeah, that's cool.
Great. Another report from the front of sort of not that amazing. I mean, it's just the way it is now. Lindsay, thanks so much. Let's go to Diana, who's calling from Arlington. Diana, you're on the air.
Yes, hi. Thanks for taking my call. Sure. I have another report from the day. I was actually a volunteer that day just helping out with the lines, and I knew it was significant. I was about 30 years old, and I felt like it was something, you know, that had been a long time coming, but somehow sort of surprising that it was finally there. And what I wanted to share was the memory that I had of the smattering of protesters that were across the street, and I remember there being some concern that there might be more protest. And looking across the street and just seeing a handful of protesters with, you know, kind of outrageous sort of, you know, signs, and then looking down Mass Ave and seeing the police truck roll up and 20 or 40 police officers in full riot gear marching down the street and turning their backs on us and standing to face the protesters and protecting us from the protesters. And for me, that was a very powerful moment because that was when it hit home that the state, the government, was finally on our side and was protecting our rights. And I just thought I would share that.
Diana, I'm so glad that you did, and thank you for doing that.
You know, hearing all these stories, it's taking me back like a flashback to that day, to that night. And as hardened a political advocate as I may have to be at times, it brings tears to my eyes to hear the stories and to think back to the dynamic and the energy that night and the absolute sheer thrill that everyone felt the emancipation that it felt to be, yeah, and knowing that we had fought so long to finally make it.
Yes.
I want to, listening to Diana calling from Arlington, Susan and Marcia, I want to ask you both, was there any part of, I mean, it turned into such a happy celebration. It was a happy celebration, but was there any part of your thinking about it, leading up to it, waiting for those 24 hours, where you were worried that something might happen?
When we got there at midnight, the night before, frankly, there wasn't a soul around. And we were sitting there under the, awning at City Hall, and the only, there were street sweepers going around, and you knew that this had been reported around the country. And I do remember sitting there thinking, well, I suppose somebody could just come up here and shoot us. And there weren't any police around at that point. Yeah. So it was kind of frightening because, in that sense. So we were very glad when more people started coming later on. And you always have this in the back of your mind. My son certainly had it in the back of his mind when he came to join us later.
And sure, the fears were real. I mean, many of us were regaled with death threats over the years lobbying the issue. So it was quite real. You always like to assume that the death threats were done by crazy people who would never actually act out on it, but you just don't know.
That's right.
Listeners, we're talking about gay marriage, gay and lesbian marriage in Massachusetts, same-sex marriage in Massachusetts. It was legalized 10 years ago. The first marriage licenses were granted 10 years ago this coming weekend. Give us a call, 800-423-8255, 800-423-TALK. If you have a story to share or a question to ask about where the marriage equality movement, how it was born, I guess, and where it is now. Let's go to Donald, who's calling from South Hamilton. Donald, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hi, good to have you. What's on your mind?
It's nice to be here. I was just listening to your show, and my husband, Stephen, and I were married 10 years ago, and we had always dreamed that we would be married on our 25th anniversary. And it was our 25th anniversary, and we got married.
Wow. That's amazing. So the event 10 years ago was actually your 25th anniversary?
Well, the event actually wasn't. Our anniversary was on June 4th.
I see.
Mm-hmm. So we got married on June 4th, and we've been together happily for a long time. I'm 70 years old, and I never thought that I would see this in my lifetime.
Well,
Donald,
congratulations. We're happy you did see it, and I'll say a few days in advance, happy anniversary to you and your husband.
Thank you very much.
All right. Arlene, let me ask you about this. As we mentioned, Massachusetts is among 17 states in the District of Columbia that allow same-sex marriage. 29 states still don't. Are you surprised that 10 years on, 29 states still don't? Or how do you assess where the movement needs to go from here?
Well, it's interesting. Actually, what surprised us most was how quickly people came to accept same-sex marriage. Mm-hmm. It took us so long to fight our way there. But literally within days, weeks, months at the most, people began changing their opinions about it. And so it's been striking that those of us who were born into a world where we never thought it even a distant possibility that we would ever have the right to get married are shocked by the rapidity with which it has moved forward successfully. So no, I'm not surprised by the other states being so slow, particularly in the conservative Bible Belt areas of the country. But it is an inevitability that we will have nationally the right to marry. It's just a question of when.
Yeah. And what's your best guess? I mean, what's the time frame? I mean, given how quickly this has moved in many respects, I mean, are we another decade out before we're not going to be talking about this, not being in all 50 states?
We're working state by state, as you know, to try and eliminate DOMAs and win the right to marry, but ultimately it's going to come from the Supreme Court, and that will be hopefully before 10 years.
Let's take a couple more calls. Nancy is calling from Newton. Hi, Nancy, you're on the air.
Hi, I'm so happy about this. I was wanted to just say my experience was when the decision came down, one of the Supreme Judicial Court justices was the grandmother of one of my son's little preschool mates, and the day after or the week after, whatever it was, very shortly after the decision came down, she happened to be dropping her granddaughter off at the preschool unusually, and you know, I went up to her and I said, hi, you know, I just want you to know, I hate to approach you, but I want you to know how thrilled I am because my sister's gay. And then I burst into tears and she's like, oh, no, dear, I love it when people come up to me. I'm so happy. And then very right after that, that when the first marriages were happening, I was at the library, which is right across the street from City Hall, and the parking lot was packed, and I was leaving, and I saw this car circling, looking for a parking spot. It was two women. I said, are you going to get married? And they said, yes. And I said, the only thing I could think of to say was, I would be honored if you would take my parking spot. And I jumped in my car and moved it. And they said, thank you so much. And I said, God bless you. And I hugged them and everything. And I just, like, you know, I was finally able to go to my own sister's wedding just this past December in Virginia. And at the reception, she knows how politically aware I am. So she sat me next to a civil rights attorney that works in Washington, and I, you know, I was just like, when is it going to be legal? Like, all legal, all over. Not fake legal, not almost legal, not sort of legal, not partially legal.
But completely legal. Nancy, yeah. Thanks so much for these recollections and the great enthusiasm with which you relate them. Arlene, it is amazing to hear the sort of energy, even 10 years on, that is being expressed.
Yeah. Oh, people feel it. And we were joking before coming onto the show that it's been 10 years. In some ways, it feels like 5 years. And in some ways, if you have kids, it feels like 20. but it's really quite extraordinary how much the world has changed, how quickly it's changed. And it's so wonderful to hear people speak about the ways in which they were previously uncomfortable with same-sex marriage and how to hear how they evolved and to hear how they changed. There tend to be beautiful stories. Mm.
Now, Susan and Marcia, you got the marriage license, of course, 10 years ago this weekend. When did you actually get married? Because you waited a little while, right?
We did. We had a cooling off period.
just to make sure you were
just
certain.
Just make sure that we were all set, ready to go.
You know, after 27 years, you don't want to leap into something.
You do not
want
to jump into
right,
anything. Correct. Well, we actually got married that next weekend at our church before worship because we wanted to have a big wedding later, but we were worried that Romney was going to... we're all happy now, but I have to say that at the time, we went through several more years of struggle over this, about taking it back from us and whether there would be a ballot issue and all of that. And I want to say that for all the people who did the political work there, there was great strategies of how to combat that and get more gay and lesbian people out into the community and talk to the legislators, which was a great strategy, and it really worked. And I think it liberated everybody in an even bigger way. But yes, we had a huge wedding in September, and people were thrilled to be a part of it. We could not stop people from coming.
And of course, you've got a 10th anniversary celebration coming up, so I'll say congratulations to you both, and thank you for
coming in. Thank you very much.
Susan Shepherd and Marcia Hams, the first same-sex couple awarded a marriage license in Massachusetts almost 10 years ago today. It'll be 10 years ago this weekend. And Arlene Isaacson, co-chair of the Massachusetts Gay and Lesbian Political Caucus, thank you as well for coming in.
Thank you.
Listeners, there's a lot more ahead. Stay with us. I'm Anthony Brooks with Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.